Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find the 26th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26 is where our text will be this evening. As we are making our way now down the final stretch here of the book of Deuteronomy, where it's 34 chapters in the book, we find ourselves on the 26th chapter this evening. I begin the study by telling you that this is a milestone chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. I will need you to have your pen tonight, and I hope you'll be able just to write some things down in your Bible, circle some words that I want you to circle that will help you as you find yourself reading this passage again. I trust that the lesson will spur you to further study tonight the truth of what is being said in this passage. In August of 2017, I believe the very first Wednesday night of August 2017, we began chapter number 12 in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter number 12, verse number 1 in that chapter, the Bible talks about the judgments and statutes that the Lord wanted to give to the nation of Israel, and he wanted them to do these in the land. Matter of fact, it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth." That springboard and that announcement and the beginning of those judgments and statutes come to a culmination and an end in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. When you come to verse number 16 in the conclusion of this chapter, Moses here says, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul." And so from chapter 12 to chapter 26, verse number 16, I actually have chapter 12, verse 1 written by verse number 16. We have been looking at numerous statutes and judgments that God gave to the nation of Israel, and we have been examining those practices. And I use that word practice because these were practices that were given to the nation, and these practices were not given to you and I, per se, as the church. But these practices present principles that are eternal principles, and as principally true as they were back in the nation of Israel, they're principally true in our lives today. So many times as I've preached to you from this book, I've told you don't get so hung up on the practice. And some of those practices have been horrific to have to preach to you, by the way. And so, but I've always encouraged you to be focused on the principle. And so tonight we really come to a conclusion of a section that goes from chapter 12 all the way to chapter number 26. I have entitled the lesson tonight, and maybe you received the text or the notification, "The Best for Last." The best for last. Sometimes we have an adage out there that says, "Let's save the best for last." And I do believe that God has given and saved the best statute and judgment and the best direction as the last word that he wanted them to remember in this section. And I believe as I unfold the passage to you, that even though the practice will be different than you and I would participate in today, the principle is still going to be the same. And so when you come to chapter 26 and you come to verse number 1, let me give you the principle that God has for them, and then I will unfold you. You'll see a little glimpse of the practice here. In verse number 1, it says, "And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the, what's that word, class? First. Somehow mark the word first. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Verse number 2, I do believe, gives us the practice, one of the practices we'll talk about tonight, but really gives us the principle of chapter number 26. And the principle of chapter number 26 is this. God says, when you get into that land, I want to be first. I want to be first. If you come to verse number 2, you will find that it says that thou shalt take of the first of, what is that little word there? All. Really and truthfully, the principle that God is reminding them as the last, saving the best for the last, is that God says, when you get into that land, I don't want you to forget me. Matter of fact, I so much don't want you to forget me that I want you to allow me to be first in every area of your life. This exaltation of first would be into our new day, into the church age in principle. We got a word we get from the book of Colossians, and that would be the word preeminent. And so God said to the nation, when you get into the land, I want to be first. I want to be first in actuality, the passage will unfold. I want to be first in every area of your life. Now, in order for God to be first in every area of their life, God had to be first in a very specific area of their life. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 16 of the chapter. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. God said, when you go into that land, I want your heart and I want your soul. I want to be exalted in your heart and in your soul. So far is this exaltation that God wants and desires that he links it to a practice and a principle that has been throughout humanity. Look, if you would please, at verse number 10. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and, what's that word? Worship. So really and truthfully, Deuteronomy chapter number 26, God is giving them their last judgment. He saved the best for the last, and he says this. When you get into that land, I want to be first in every area of your life. Our word would be preeminent. In order for me to be first in every area of your life, I want to be exalted in your heart and in your soul. I don't want you to be robotic to me. I don't want this to be something that is just something that you do out of duty per se. I want to be so full in your heart and in your soul that worship comes from you. And that was God's desire. He wanted worship, which is the highest form of praise, the highest exaltation that you can give as we prostrate ourselves and bow down and worship the Lord. as we understand the principle that God wanted for them, he gives them a practice to do. I submit to you that this practice is going to look a little different than our practice today, but the principle is going to be the same. If you have a study Bible, chapter 26, underneath the title or underneath the chapter, it may say something like this: the offering of the first fruits. If you come to verse number 12, if there's a break in your study Bible, you may see that the commentator there says the offering of the what? The tithes. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 12, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gate and be filled. Okay, don't lose me. I'm driving somewhere. God says to them, when you get into the land, I want to be first. I want to be exalted. I want to be first in your heart and in your soul. I want you to be so filled in your heart and your soul with me that worship just pours forth out of you. God says to them, now one of the evidences that I'm going to be first and that I'm in my proper place and that I am the treasure of your heart and that I am the love of your soul is I want you to bring me an offering of the first fruits, and I want you, Israel, to tithe. Now, these are words, offering and tithe, that we understand today. Many folks want to take and rob tithing and offerings away from the church. They want to say that it's no longer biblical or no longer responsible, and they'll say something like this: we don't live under the law, we live under grace. Where they're biblically wrong with that statement, if you ever hear anybody say that, you understand they have no idea what they're talking about in the Bible. None. Because, go back to verse number 1 of chapter 26. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God, what class, giveth. Let's stop right here. There's two very simple definitions that you need to understand. The two words that you need to understand and that the nation of Israel needed to understand was the word grace and the word mercy. Mercy is defined at its simplest form as not getting what you deserve. We've all been pulled over by the police. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Grace, getting what you do not deserve. Mercy, not getting what you do deserve. True or false? Be careful. Israel deserved the promised land. False. They were stiff-necked, rebellious. Don't you remember earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, I didn't exalt you because of anything meritorious in you. I exalted you because I'm a good God. And by the way, he's a great God. What people don't understand when it comes to tithing is tithing began and has always been under grace. Tithing did not begin under the law with Moses. Tithing began way before the law with Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek as a representative of the Lord. Jacob paid tithes. These men paid tithes. In the New Testament, the Bible says that Abraham found grace and was saved because of grace, not by work. Tithing began out of grace. When it got to the law, God tripled it on them. But he didn't begin it on them. It began out of grace, right? So God says to the nation of Israel, when you get in a land you don't deserve, then how did they get it? They got it because of grace. Here's what God says. When you are resting in grace, I want to be exalted in your heart and in your soul. I want to be first or preeminent. And I want it to be such a honest position that it culminates in worship from you to me because I deserve to be worshiped. And by the way, God does deserve to be worshiped. God said, I'm going to help you understand where I am in this. And so he lays out for them the responsibility of the first fruits, and he lays out for them the responsibility of the tithe. Why, Pastor, would God use the tithe to evidence this? Why would this be so important to God? Okay, let's use an adage we understand. Actions blank louder than words speak. Actions speak louder than words. I'm going to prove to you, tithing speaks words. Go, if you would, to verse number 3. And thou shalt go in unto the priest that shall be in those days, and what's that word? Say, circle it. Come down to verse number 5. And thou shalt speak, and what, class? Say, circle it. Come, if you would, to verse number 13. Then thou shalt, come on, say, circle it. Three times in this passage, say, say, say. So here's what God says. I want you to bring this, and when you bring it, I want you to say. He's teaching them, don't miss this phrase, he's teaching them what tithing is in words. Three things. They're powerful. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 2. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I declare, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord. Say those two words. Thy God. God said this, Israel, when you get into that land of grace that I give to you, when you get into that position there and you bring that offering to me, that first offering, once you reckoned everything I've done for you, that very first part of all the fruit of the land, when you bring it, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say that I am your God. Tithing says to God, you're my God. Come, if you would, down to verse number 17. Thou hast avouched is the King James word, proclaimed. Thou hast proclaimed the Lord this day to be, say those two words, thy God. To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. Israel, when you get into that land, I want to be first in your heart. I want to be first in your soul. I want to be so preeminent there and recognition of who I am that worship springs forward. Now, when you bring me what belongs to me, the first fruits of that, you're telling me that I'm your God. If he's your God today, say amen. So explain to me what the Christian who doesn't tithe is saying. Because the tithe says to God, you're my God. God is teaching them, when you tithe, I want you to say with your mouth, you're my God. You're my God. Most Christians would choke on that message, but we love the Bible. Look at what he says, number two. Not only does it say, tithing, speak and say that you're my God. Verse number five. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. And he gives them a history lesson here. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. Who's the father of the Jews? Abraham. And he went down into Egypt. This is, of course, being of Jacob as it's going further there. And sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. We know the history of the Jews. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord, what class? Heard our voice. And looked on our affliction and on our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Praise his holy name. With an outstretched arm and with great terribleness. And with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land. Even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine own house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Now, you've heard me preach Deuteronomy for a very long time. Somebody get this right or I'm going to go home discouraged. God bringing the nation of Israel out of bondage is a picture of God's great salvation or redemption. In the Old Testament, whenever God wants to declare his ultimate power, he always reminded them, I brought you out of bondage. In the New Testament, when God wants to declare his great power, it's always who raised up him from the dead, speaking of the resurrection of Christ. So as the nation of Israel is brought out of bondage, that is a picture of you and I being redeemed out of our sin. If you've been redeemed out of your sin, say amen. So tithing not only says, you're my God, because everybody tithes to their God. You give me a checkbook of somebody who doesn't tithe to the living God, I'll show you the God they tithe to. That's just how that goes. It also says, and you save my soul. You save my soul. And I reckon that everything I have is because of you. And God said, now when you bring it to me, I want you to come and I want you to rehearse being brought out of bondage. I want you to remember my redemption. I want you to remember what I'm doing here. And when you set this in front of the priest there, I want it to be where in your heart and in your soul, you are acknowledging my redemption. So tithing says, you're my God and you have saved my soul. Okay. Number three. Verse number 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt, here's our word, say before the Lord thy God, I love this. Read every word of it. I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house. And also I have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. He said, I didn't use this tithe. I didn't use any of this for my own personal food. I didn't use it for any unclean. I didn't even indulge in it in unclean, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the, what's that word? Voice of the Lord my God. And I have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Now, verse number 15 is powerful. Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and, what's that word, class? And bless thy people Israel, in the land which thou given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, this is God telling them what to say. The practice has a principle to it. The principle is, I want to be exalted to my rightful place where there's nothing before me. I am first. I'm the supreme love of your heart and your soul. And I am worshipped in that exalted praise position. The evidence of that is I want you to bring to me tithe, which is in recognition of that. Now, when you come with your mouth, say, you're my God. You save my soul. And you sustain my life. You're my God. You save my soul. And you sustain my life. God, I didn't touch anything that belonged to you. I didn't take it to sustain my life. I didn't take it in anything that wasn't proper. This is what you commanded. This belongs to you. Now, God, I was honest. I brought it. Now you look down from your holy habitation and you bless me. This is what God is telling them to say. This is what God hears when his people tithe. You're my God. You save my soul. And you sustain my life. If you believe that, say amen. In verse 17, God reminds them, you're the ones who have proclaimed me to be your God. You're the ones who said you would walk in my ways. You're the ones who said you would keep my statutes. You're the ones who said you would keep my commandments and my judgments. This is what you said with your mouth. God's just saying, I hear what you're saying, but your actions also speak volumes. If you want to bring that principle into the day of which we live in, there are a lot of people who say they're a Christian, but their actions have no identification with the Christ life. Tithing says, you're my God. You save my soul. You sustain my life. Look at the promise God made, verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be, what's that little word? His peculiar people. as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy or a separate people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Here's what God says. God says this to the nation of Israel. He said, I made promises to you, and I'm not going to break my promise. And God would say to you today, God has made promises to his church, and God is not going to break those promises. I'm preaching to you Deuteronomy 26. I'm not asking you to go bring a pot of fruit on Sunday. I'm not the priest, although we had a precious lady visit on Sunday, and they asked her who invited her, and they said, the priest did. The priest did? Must have been me. I must have given her a card. She said, yeah, the priest, the guy up there, the priest. Okay, no problem. I'm not asking you to do that, but I am telling you, God wanted to be first in the nation of Israel. He wants to be preeminent in our lives. He said to the nation, tithing is one of the ways that you communicate to me where I stand with you. Now, here's what people want to do today. They just want to say tithing's not biblical anymore. The problem is they can't defend that from the Bible. And the Bible is the Bible. So when I bring the tithe on Sunday and those offerings, I'm saying to him, you're my God. You save my soul. And you sustain my life. Without you, I would have nothing. Without you, I couldn't make it. Without you, where would I be? How did I know to say that? Because God told me all the way back there that that's what tithing says to him. It speaks volumes. So he said this. When you go into the land, fellas, don't forget me. I want to be first. And the evidence of that is you reckon to me what belongs to me. Pastor, if tithing says that God is my God and I don't tithe, what am I saying? I would just say this to you. I'm not saying you're not a believer. There's many of God's people who don't save or who don't tithe. But the believer that tithes knows God to be his God in a very wonderful and miraculous and peculiar way that you're missing out on. And the devil tells us, he's just not, you just got to take care of yourself. And God said, no. I'll sustain you. No, God, no, you just can't sustain me. No, God says, now wait a minute, you declared me to be your God. Let me be God. You know, God's pretty good at being God. He's pretty good at being God. I have been in the ministry for 24 years. I have grown up in a home where the Bible was exalted. I have practiced this in my life. I was taught that tithing declares God to be my God, recognition of the salvation of my soul, and the sustaining of my life. And I would tell you that God has been wonderfully faithful to his word. And as a minister of the gospel, it hurts to see people that don't understand that principle. And I understand we get attacked, and sometimes we try and we do, and it seems like we never know complete victory there. Oh, my friends, get in God's word, get you a promise, get you a truth, and just obey him. That's what God said. If you obey me and you'll trust me, you'll find that I'll keep all my promises to you. It's not an easy message to preach to people. Matter of the fact, they tell us in all the magazines I write that we should stop preaching about it. Although, did I say write? I read. Then I read. You know, somebody had the audacity to write a nasty article about me the other day. Nasty article in a nationwide publication. Guy called me, said, you should read this article. You're mentioned in it. And the article talked about how I had let the church be destroyed because we weren't. We played a song that somebody didn't appreciate. These people don't go to our church. I never met them. And they wrote an article and said, good independent fundamental Baptist churches are being destroyed like Plantation Baptist Church pastored by Tom Hunter Jr. Okay? So when I tell you that there's attack against preaching of the book. I'm telling you, there's attack against the preaching of the book. But greater is he that is in us. Yeah. I don't preach to you because I want your money. I preach to you because I want you to know the blessing of God upon your life. Okay, let's pray.